An Obama administration initiative to fund social programs relies on one critical factor. Agencies had to use a data-driven and evidence-based approach to planning and spending. Ron Haskins is Senior Fellow for Economic Studies at the Brookings Institution and author of Show Me the Evidence, and here to explain how the evidence-based funding approach works. This is primarily, I imagine, Ron, a product of the data revolution that federal agencies are going through. What did you find when you wrote this book, Show Me the Evidence, about how agencies are using data more effectively than they have in the past? Thanks for being on today, Ron.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I would say that the initiative was driven primarily by the Office of Management and Budget, working with the senior leadership in various agencies. So it was initiated by, you know, from above in the administration. It was not initiated by the agencies. And there were two essential parts of what the administration was trying to do. And I think even though they're so straightforward, they're revolutionary. The first one is that they try to make sure that money that was given as grant funds to programs throughout the country, these are social programs, we can talk more about that in a minute if you'd like. So for these social programs, the people requesting the money had to show that they were using programs that had strong evidence that they produced success. Now, you would think that that would be a run-of-the-mill requirement, but it's not. We have many programs in the federal government that have been giving out grant funds for years and years and years, and they don't require the recipients to show that they're using a program that will really work. The second thing is also very logical, but because it's infrequent, I would call it revolutionary, and that is that they required most of these projects, almost all of them, to do careful evaluations, often using scientific designs in the jargon of the discipline, random assignment studies that are the best studies to find out if a program is work. And so what they're calling for is continuous evaluation. So these two things, start with a program that has evidence of success and then evaluate it carefully as it's implemented and make changes if it's not producing the impacts that you would like. So all there are six of these initiatives in different areas of social policy in the Department of Labor, Department of Education, HHS, and the Committee for National and Community Service, Corporation for Community and National Service, and all of them focused on these two requirements. If we could do this in all government programs, the effectiveness of government programs would skyrocket over a period of, you know, maybe 5-10 years.
What is your sense of why that's not happening or why that would be difficult or impossible to do, if so, Ron?
I think there's several reasons. At the local level, program operators, not unreasonably, want to spend as much money as they can on their intervention. So they want to hire good staff members. They want to have good outreach programs. They want to have terrific materials and curriculum materials. So they don't want to spend their money on evaluation. And the second thing is that too many local program operators fall in love with their program. You see the same thing in the public schools. We have the best school. We're doing everything right. This is a natural tendency. But to try to evaluate what people are doing, we find out, in fact, this is a shocking statistic, in careful studies of social intervention programs like teen pregnancy programs, home visiting programs to help young mothers, many education programs, when they are carefully evaluated, about 90% of them are shown not to produce significant impacts or only modest impacts. So most of the stuff that we're using out there in the countryside, despite the fact that the local operators are in love with it, doesn't work. And that is the biggest advantage of this approach is that over the years, we would change those programs, use new model programs, or perfect the model programs that local operators are using now. So, and that's the way that we would improve the program. So I think the motivation of a natural human tendency of local operators to defend their program and say, we're using a program that's effective. Second thing is that at the federal level, the agencies sure don't want Congress to know that their programs don't work very well. And both the Bush administration tried very hard to get the agencies to carefully evaluate their programs with a notable lack of success. And Obama administration had some of the same problems. Agencies do not necessarily want to know if their programs work because they might not work. In fact, I've already suggested most of them don't work, and they might lose money, not to mention prestige by running a bunch of junky programs. So there's motivation both at the federal level and at the local level to resist evaluation, resist using ideal programs.
Ron Haskins of the Brookings Institution is co-author, along with Greg Margolis, of Show Me the Evidence, Obama's Fight for Rigor and Results in Social Policy. It sounds like a classic case of who moved my cheese. People don't want their stuff to be touched. Is it as simple as that, do you think? And is that something that we can either regulate from OMB or legislate from Congress our way out of, or is there a cultural change that has to happen in order to get to where you just suggested a few moments ago we should go, Ron?
That is a great question, and the answer is all of the above. It is a culture, and think of it this way. Across these six initiatives, which cost roughly something over $5 billion over 5 years, there are now on the order of 1,400 programs around the country being funded, both with these funds and there were often matching funds were required. So local organizations, foundations, sometimes local governments are putting up funds to pay for these programs. So you've got 1,400 programs going on around the country. They have to use evidence-based models to begin, and then they have to carefully evaluate. So that's a pretty hefty number of programs. Now, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of programs, so I'm not suggesting we're talking about half the programs in the country. It's less than that. But it is possible in doing this and the effect that these programs could have on state governments and their approach to evidence that there could, over a period of years, be a really substantial change at the local level in the way these programs are run, and much greater reliance on evidence and making changes if they don't work. And similarly, at the federal level, if we have several administrations after the Obama administration and the Bush administration, too, that place the same emphasis on evaluation and using successful model programs as was done in the Bush and especially the Obama administration, I think we really could change that culture over the years, and we could have much greater impacts and do a better job of solving the nation's social problems.
A couple of thoughts about that concept, Ron. I'm imagining this rock being pushed up a steep hill, and the Bush administration pushed it up a ways and then managed to get a stake in the ground to keep it from rolling back down. And now the Obama administration has pushed it and pushed it. What do they need to do to make sure they get the stake stuck in the ground so that whoever follows President Obama, his or her team, mm-hmm. doesn't have to start back at the bottom of the hill and keep rolling?
Right. I think there are two keys here. One, of course, is the Congress. I am very disappointed to tell you that one of the six initiatives has already been killed by primarily Republicans and House of Representatives.
Which one is that?
It's called the Workforce Investment Fund, and it's a workforce program that attempts to help young people get jobs, which, you know, that's a goal of many programs. But the emphasis on evidence and especially evaluation is really important. And also there were attempts to try to reform the local labor organizations that are part of the Department of Labor that try to coordinate these programs and make sure the money is spent on programs that actually produce evidence success. So that thing is gone already. Another one, and very important, one of the initiatives called Investing in Innovation, which is a Department of Education initiative, and is funding some extremely good programs that are well known, like Teach for America, Success for All, the KIPP program, and trying to demonstrate that these programs are already known to work, and to try to demonstrate you can implement them widely. So you can have where you had one or two or three, you can have 10 or 20 or 30. And so that's a very, very important step. If we're going to have impacts nationally, we have to learn how to implement the programs broadly. So these are all very, very important parts of the program. So the Congress has to continue the funding, but they're already cutting the funding. So that's a moral threat to the initiatives. And then the second thing is the next administration has to continue what the Bush and Obama administration started. This is not an unusual problem. Every administration wants to have its own program, wants to put its own mark on programs. If they start with where the previous administration left off and try to improve it, that's generally a good thing. But if they kill it and try to start all over again in their own unique way, then that's really a problem, especially since this initiative is the right thing to do. I think it can be improved in many ways. We can especially have more talented people, and over the years we will accumulate more successful programs. But I think those are the two keys. One, Congress will continue to support these initiatives, and two, that the next administration will implement and expand the initiative just like the Obama administration
did. So for the next administration, your advice would be, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, instead of bringing in a bunch of politicals, make sure you bring in managers who know how to run programs who just happen to be of your party.
Absolutely.
Great to have you on the program, Ron. Congratulations on this work to you and your colleague, Greg Margolis. We'll put a link to information about the book and the other resources that are on the Brookings website at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And I thank you for being on the program
today.
Well,
thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate it, Francis.